DiscerningHearts.com presents The Great Cloud of Witnesses, Guides for Prayer, with Father Mark Sizza. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states that the witnesses that have preceded us into the kingdom, especially those that the Church recognizes as saints, share in the living tradition of prayer by the example of their lives, transmission of their writings, and their prayer today. It goes on to state that many spiritualities have developed throughout the history of the churches. The different schools of spirituality share in the living tradition of prayer and are essential guides of the faithful. In their rich diversity, they are refractions of the one pure light of the Holy Spirit. The Great Cloud of Witnesses, Guides for Prayer, with Father Mark Sizza. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
I'd just like to offer a happy feast day to our sisters on this feast of St. Francis. And, you know, just in when I was thinking about today's feast day and just trying to put it into context, there are just really so many aspects of the life of St. Francis that we can meditate on and draw benefit from in our own spiritual lives. And I think that just one thing that I've always that really strikes me about his life, though, is that it's his, you know, some of the extraordinary things like the poverty that he lived and having the stigmata in those types of things are, I think they're fascinating to us. But I think to get at the heart of Franciscan spirituality, we have to take a step back and to look at why he did those things and what really happened. And ultimately, and I've never seen anything written on this, but I've often wondered if at some point he didn't encounter that passage from Philippians where it says Christ Jesus, I think we read it a couple weeks ago at Mass on Sunday, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he took the form of a slave being born in the likeness of human flesh. And it was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death on the cross. And I've often wondered if he encountered that passage because of the way that he lived out that encounter that he had with Christ. St. Francis, obviously, you know, he had this transforming effect, you know, and again, sometimes we can look at the sacrifices and everything else that he offered up during the course of his life, but really what was driving all of that? What was driving all of that was this encounter, this deep and intense encounter that he had with Jesus Christ. And this encounter that he had with Jesus Christ, it so transformed his life, it so transformed his heart that he became, really he became that total pouring out of himself. As Christ gave himself, he in Greek it's called the kenosis, the self-emptying. Christ, who was rich, became poor for our sake. In the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he took the form of a slave. He emptied himself. And so because of that encounter that he has with Jesus Christ, it enables him to empty himself, to pour out himself until there is nothing left to give. And this is the whole motivation for the poverty. It's that self-emptying. It's a giving up of self. Because it is only when we are poured out like Christ that we can be filled up with his love and with his grace. But it all comes first from that encounter with him, because When we are loved, then love compels us forward. Love compels us to want to go deeper into that love, to empty ourselves more, to give ourselves as Jesus did until there's nothing left to give. And so we see that manifested in that self-emptying, in that total self-giving throughout the life of St. Francis. There was an author just reflecting on the life of St. Francis, and it's quoted in this book by Father Ignacio Larrañaga, something like that. And he is quoting from Nikos Kazantzakis. And it's this moment when St. Francis goes up into the cave in the mountain, and he has this encounter, this deepening of his encounter with Christ. And again, it's a fictional account, but I think there's something that we can gain from it. And while I was mulling all this in my mind, my body was trembling. Francis suddenly emerged from the cave. He was radiant, a glowing ember. Prayer had eaten away his flesh again, but what remained shone like pure soul. He held out his hand to me. A peculiar expression of joy was passing over his face. "Well, Brother Leo," he called, "are you ready to hear what I am going to tell you?" He seemed delirious. His eyes were inflamed. As he came closer, I discerned ghosts and angels in his pupils. I was terrified. Could he have taken leave of his senses? He understood and laughed, but the fire did not subside. He came closer to tell me. "People have enumerated many terms of praise for the Lord up to now," he said, "but I shall enumerate still more. Listen to what I call him: the bottomless abyss, the insatiable, the merciless, the untiring, the unsatisfied. He who never once has said to the poor, unfortunate mankind, enough. Come closer still." He placed his lips next to my ear and cried in a thunderous voice, "Never enough." That is what he screamed at me. "If you ask, Brother Leo, that's what God commands unceasingly, I can tell you, for I learned it in these past 3 days and nights in the cave. Listen, not enough, never enough." That's what he shouts every day, every hour to poor, miserable man. Not enough, not enough. "I can't go further," whines man. "You can," replies the Lord. "I shall break in two," man whines again. "Break," the Lord answers. Francis' voice had begun to crack and a tear rolled down his cheek. I felt overwhelming compassion for Francis. I became angry. "What more does he expect from you?" I asked. "Didn't you kiss the leper? "Not enough." "Didn't you abandon your father and mother?" "Not enough." "Didn't you make a fool of yourself giving back your clothes to your father and standing naked before the whole town?" "Not enough." "But aren't you the poorest in the world?" "Not enough. And do not forget it, Brother Leo. God is never enough." What St. Francis is getting at through this story, and I think it's reflective of his own life and his own belief, is that when we say God is never enough, what we mean is that God is love. Because love is never enough. Because in love, we can always go deeper. And this is what Jesus Christ shows us from the cross. He shows us that pouring out of himself, that going forth, that self-emptying is made visible in his agony, in his suffering, in the total giving of himself in love. And Francis, when he encounters this love, it transforms him, it changes him, and it compels him to give up everything, to sacrifice everything, to pour forth everything. Because Christ was never satisfied with what he gave. He always gave more because he loved. That infinite love of the Father burned within him. It burned within his human heart. So he gave. And he poured out his love for sinful man. And he took on our sins. And he showed us his mercy. This is the love that Saint Francis encountered. He didn't sacrifice for the sake of sacrificing. He wasn't poor for the sake of being poor. He gave everything. He poured out everything because he was transformed by love. Jesus Christ is love. And in that encounter with Jesus Christ, something changed inside of him. His view of the world changed. His understanding of the value of things changed. His understanding of poverty changed. Because now these became the means to love. Not poverty for the sake of being poor. Poverty for the sake of being like Jesus and giving of self. Of pouring out that self-emptying, that kenosis in union with Jesus. And what happened? Through his encounter with Christ and through his living out of that gift of love and that saying, never enough, St. Francis transformed the world. He changed hearts. It's estimated that by the time he died, there were 10,000 or more friars running around begging for bread, joyfully spreading the gospel. That's what love does. Love is infectious. Love diffuses itself. Love inspires. Love heals. Love gives. Love shares. But it's never enough. We can always go more. And Francis knew that. That daily dying to himself, that daily giving of himself, that daily begging for his bread, that daily poverty. In the end, because he knew that there is only one thing that matters in life. And that is love. And God is love. And God's love is made incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. So on this feast of St. Francis, let us always remember that. Let's be inspired by him. Ask for his intercession. That we too may encounter the living love of Jesus Christ. And that we too may be changed and transformed and be poured out in love. So that as we are emptied of that love, of ourselves, we may be filled up with love, filled up with the love of God in the person of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to The Great Cloud of Witnesses, Guides for Prayer with Father Mark Sizza. To hear and or to download this episode, along with many others, and to learn more about the Great Cloud of Witnesses, the saints, blesseds, and others of the Church, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for The Great Cloud of Witnesses, Guides for Prayer with Father Mark Sizza.